Testing, testing. Can you hear me? Let us read the Bible passage for today's sermon. It's Genesis chapter 32, verse 1 through to 32. I will read from verse 1 to 2 and 22 through to 30. Jacob also went on his way, and the angels of God met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." So he named that place Mahanaim. Now we skip to verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." So then let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we worship your holy name. Thank you that this week we can gather before you and we can worship you here together. Two thousand years ago, you have sent your precious Son, Jesus Christ. And through the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and his blood that were shed, our sins were forgiven, cleansed, and we received the eternal life. Thank you. Now Christmas is coming, where we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Let us use this opportunity to spread your good news to more people. We are going to hear a sermon through Pastor Anjuki. I pray that we will be able to understand and receive your message for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Good morning, everyone. So, it's the third week of the Advent. I'm happy that we can celebrate this together. So, sometimes do you listen to the radio? Last time I was listening to the radio show, there was this program where they come up with the complaints of various things. You know, they are usually things, so they don't speak out, but they were just guessing. If they were persons, how would they complain? For example, glasses. How would they complain? Well, why don't you let me warm up together in the bath sometimes? So, if you have your glasses, you take them off when you go to the bath. So they are saying, we're cold in the winter. Can you put me in the bath? And also, do you know these small salads in the convenience store packed lunches? How would they complain? Hey, stop microwaving me with the others. You know, we can kind of understand. And also, a cuckoo bird. It's been too busy recently. This is a hard one in English. In Japanese, when business is not going very well, we say a kako is crying. So kakos have been crying all around the places. And so, we also complain sometimes like these things. Oh my goodness, when are you ever going to grow up? You know, I always feel to my wife, can't you ever hurry up? When I go out with my wife, you know, she takes so much time getting ready. And also, my wife might feel, how immature are you? When will you grow up? But you don't worry them out. You keep them in your heart for the peace of the house. So in the same way, maybe God feels like complaining, hey, when do you ever grow up? When are you ever going to stop worrying and trust in me? That could be in his heart. So now, in today's passage, we are focusing on Jacob. God probably wanted to complain at Jacob. You know, you grow up too slow. Whenever you have a problem, you always try to solve them with your wisdom and strategies. But when are you ever going to learn to trust in me? So that's the person of Jacob. His father was Isaac. His grandfather was Abraham. He's the third generation of the Abraham house. But compared to his father's and grandfather, he's very immature in terms of faith. You know, Abraham, when he was 75 years old, God called him to come out of his homeland and go to the land that God chose him. Then Abraham said, yes, and not knowing where he was going, he went out. It was the obedience of faith. And also his father Isaac, when he was 18 years old, about 18 years old, when Abraham tried to sacrifice him to God, he was tied in silence. You know, if he was 18 years old, he could have beaten up the 100 years old father, but he had the obedience of faith to his father and to God. So when he was a teenager, he had the obedience of faith. But when you look at Jacob, he's almost 90 years old, and yet he's very selfish. Whenever there's a problem, he comes up with the strategies, ideas of the human wisdom, and he gets around them somehow. However, in today's passage, he has a big turning point of his life. You know, the growth of faith, it doesn't go up like you're going up the stairs. Sometimes it's flat, but when you have the adversity, troubles, tests, then you jump up in the walk of faith. And then you go flat again, and then another faith test comes, and then you jump up. That's kind of the growth of faith. So in today's passage, Jacob's faith is transformed completely. So let us revise what was happening until today. So Jacob was at Laban's house, his uncle, and he has been deceived. He has been used terribly. And then finally, he got up and he fled from Laban with his family. Then Laban became furious and chased after Jacob. And the day or the night before he was catching after Jacob, they were almost going to fight. But the night before that, God appeared to Laban in a dream and said, "Hey you, don't fight with Jacob. Make sure you solve it in peace." So God kind of threatened him. And Laban ends up making the peace treaty with Jacob and saying, putting a line on the ground, they said, "You will never come over this line. I will never go over this line." And they left each other in peace. So one trouble has passed. But out of the frying pan and into the fire. Now Jacob was going to his homeland, but his biggest worry was his brother Esau. So in the first place, why he had to flee his home? That was 20 years ago. Jacob deceived his brother and his father, and he stole the right of the firstborn and also the blessing of the firstborn. So his brother Esau was furious and trying to kill him. And when Rebekah, their mother, heard this, she said to Jacob, "Hey Jacob, your brother is angry, so go to my home, my brother's house, and hide there for a while." So 20 years has passed, and now Jacob was coming back. But his biggest concern was, has Esau's anger subsided? Or 20 years has passed, maybe he's calmed down. Or his rages might have grown day by day. I have to go home. But when I think about Esau, my steps become dreary. So let us look at verse 1 together. Jacob also went on his way. So Jacob is on his way to his homeland. And 20 years ago, when he left his home, he was alone. He only had one staff with him, and he ran away from home. But now, when he's coming back, it's like he's carrying a big camp with him. So he has two wives and two maidservants. So, and they had 11 sons and a few daughters. And they also had a great number of cattle, cows, sheep, goats, camels. And there were also the servants who will take care of these cattle. So it was a big troop with him. So maybe we could say it's like an American dream. You know, when they go from having nothing to being successful and coming back with a big position. So Jacob went out with just one set of clothes and one rod, and now he was back with a big family and lots of servants and massive possession. A triumphant return. But Jacob was still afraid. In the verse 1 it says, the angels of God met him on the way home. So the angels appeared to him. What does this mean? It means that God is with Jacob, so he doesn't have to worry or afraid. So this is a message from God to assure him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is the camp of God." So he named that place Mahanaim. You know, Mahanaim is a plural of the word Mahane, which means the camp. So it wasn't just two or three angels. There were big troops of angels, the heavenly hosts. And he was surprised. There's so much angels with me. So usually he would, you know, become brave and confident. Jacob was still filled with fear. You know, if he had been guaranteed the protection of God and having big family, abundant possessions, then you would be relieved. But his heart was full with fear. The verse 3 says, Jacob sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir. Jacob sent his servant to find out some information about his brother Esau, whether he's still angry or not. So in verse 4 and 5, This is the message that he sent with the servant. And this shows how he was feeling. He's calling his brother, my Lord, and himself, your servant. So he's entrusting this message to his servant, and making him call his brother, my Lord, and himself, your servant. So he's humbling himself and trying to win the favor of his brother. And also, he continues to say, I have cattle and donkeys, sheep and goats, male and female servants. So implying that I have lots of possessions, so I could give you lots of gifts, my brother. So he's trying to calm his brother down and win his heart over. So from his words, from his actions, we can see that. But the messenger comes back and says, now he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. You know, he said Isa was coming to welcome you back with 400 people. And 400 equals almost one army division in these days. So when Jacob heard this, oh, this is not a peace. He felt it's an army to kill me. So Jacob's reaction to this report was, verse 7, in great fear and distress, Jacob. So other translations in Japanese says, Jacob was very anxious and troubled. Jacob was in trouble. Jacob was very much afraid and worried. He was overwhelmed with fear. So these expressions teach us what fear could bring to us when we are caught up in fear. So when a man fears, he will become anxious, troubled, worried, and overwhelmed. And because of anxiety, they could become sick mentally. They could shut themselves up in their rooms. So fear breaks our identity and breaks our life. That is why in the Bible God says, do not fear, repeatedly, again and again. Because fear brings destruction. But Jacob was afraid, and he wanted to get rid of this fear somehow. So he struggles and he comes up with many ideas. So here's what he did. Verse 7, Jacob divided the people who were with him into two groups, and the flocks and herds and camels as well. So everything he had, he divided them into two groups, because, verse 8, he thought, if Esau comes and attacks one group, the group that is left may escape. You know, he divided the positions in two, so when Esau comes to attack one, then the other one will escape with him. And he tried to lessen the people who will be killed. And although he came up with that strategy, still, he was full with fear. And he thought about, what else can I do? Then he came up with the idea, hey, I haven't prayed yet. How's that? You know, sometimes we could be like this. You know, we plan out everything, and then we pray to God, hey, God, make this your will, because I have already made up the plan. But that is not how it works. First, you should pray and seek God for His will. But Jacob, after he did everything, he was still anxious, and that's why he prayed right in the end. And of course, that is not the true faith. So no matter however he prayed, he couldn't get rid of the fear. And then he comes up with the next idea. And that is, sending the gifts. It's like the gift attacks. If he receives lots of gifts, maybe he will calm down. So these are the list of his gifts. Verse 14, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes, and 20 rams, 30 female camels with their young, 40 cows, and 10 bulls, and 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. These, if you want to buy them in the market today, it would be more than 30 billion yen today. A gift worth 30 billion yen. And what's more, Jacob divided them in three groups. And you know, he planned a threefold attack of gifts, you know, one after another. And, oh, they gave him a present and another gift and another gift. Wow. So he tried to give them more effectively. So he was very smart. He used his wisdom. And the Bible explains Jacob's intention in verse 20. For he thought, I will pacify him with these gifts I am sending on ahead. Later, when I see him, perhaps he will receive me. However, despite having done all these things, he still couldn't shut out the fear completely. So he couldn't get to sleep at night because of the worries. So in the middle of the night, he gets up, and here's what he did. He wakes up his family, his wives, maidservants, sons, and daughters, and made them cross over the Jordan River. And Jacob stayed behind alone. And Jacob, for the first time in his life, he took the initiative to come before God. He had never done that. You know, in other times, he prayed because he had to or because he was cornered. But in this time, he had no other ways to take over the fear, so he faced God properly. And that became the turning point of his life. So verse 24, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. So who is this man? So in the Hosea 12 verse 4, it says, he struggled with the angel and overcame him. But obviously, this man is a greater person than angel. He's the pre-existence of Christ. You know, Jesus came on Christmas as a human, but before that, in the Old Testament, sometimes Jesus appears, you know, there were three angels that appeared to Abraham. Two were the angels, and one was the pre-existence of Christ. And in here, this is also Jesus. And the word wrestle, in other translation, it says sumo wrestling. And do you know a famous sumo wrestler called Takanohana? You know, sometimes he's in the TV saying, Furusato, Furusato. But when he was still a pro wrestler, he said, this is the origin of sumo wrestling, what Jacob did. You know, in sumo, they say, Hakioi, nokota, nokota. What does Hakioi mean? Actually, in Hebrew, these mean, Hake means to throw. Yoi means to take down. Nokota, nokota means like, yes, bring it on, throw, fight. You know, that's what the referees say. So basically, these referees are trying to get them to heat up, according to Takanohana. And maybe that's true. So this is the origin of the sumo wrestling. So verse 25, it says, when the man saw that he could not overpower him. Is this possible that God cannot win over a man? This means that Jacob's ego was too strong, his selfishness was too strong, that when God tried to deal with it, it resisted stubbornly. Jacob didn't want to change his innate nature. You know, sometimes we come before God with a problem and we say, God, change this problem, but don't change me. But sometimes God is saying, you are the reason of the problem. You have to change. But we say, don't change me, God. Just change the problem. And this is the same with Jacob. But God knew that unless Jacob's selfishness was broken, he could not advance anymore. So, this man, resorted to strong measures. Verse 25, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip. It's also that he striked. So in English, it says he touched. So by God's touch, a hip dislocation happened. Have you ever had that hip dislocation? It hurts terribly and you cannot walk. So this means Jacob's ego was broken. God had touched the deepest part of Jacob's ego. And then God asked, "What is your name?" Verse 27. The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. You know, what does Jacob mean? Jacob means the one who deceives, the one who push aside others. So Jacob probably didn't want to admit that as his name. But God asked, "What is your true nature? What is in the mid-center of your ego?" And Jacob confessed, "I have been pushing others aside. I have been deceiving others." And he acknowledged his true nature. "What is your name?" He probably didn't want to answer Jacob. He probably hated this innate nature that he always has to deal with in his life. But that was his problem. So, in order to solve the problem, he had to change himself. And when Jacob acknowledged that, Jesus said, then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Israel means God reigns or God is in control. So from this point on, God will control you. God will rule over you. So trust in God. So when Jacob admitted his weakness, God's control came over him. You know, it's the same as what Paul said. When I am weak, then I am strong, because God's strength will show perfectly in my weaknesses. You know, what is God interested? It's in your weakness. Because God wants to work in your weaknesses. It's not so, you don't need God's help when you're doing something you are good at. But when you face your weaknesses, you call God to help and God's glory will be shown. God wants to show His glory. So we have to admit our weaknesses and confess that honestly to God. This is my weakness. This is where I lack. This is where I'm falling short. And God is interested in these kind of prayers. 29, Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" This is to say, you know, why do you ask? You should already know who I am. And Jacob knows this is God. So verse 30, so Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." You know, here he's desperate and saying, "Unless you bless me, I will not let you go." Because he knew without God's blessing, he couldn't take another step. Up to this place, he has worked with his wisdom and strategy and smartness, but it was coming to a limit. "I am Jacob, so only your blessing is what I need." He was changed to a person who depends on God's blessing. In verse 31, it says, the sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. This scene, if you put it, make it like a picture, what kind of picture would it be? How would Jacob be walking? So he has a deep hip dislocation. He's probably limping. He doesn't look cool at all. He's not walking confidently. a sun is coming right above him. And this shows that when Jacob acknowledged his weaknesses, God's grace, like the sun of righteousness, would pour down on him. And it's the same with each one of us. Jacob started his new life. You know, Jacob gained many family members and positions, but that didn't bring him peace. The peace of your heart comes by connecting to God. So, let me introduce one allegory to finish with. There was one mouse. And this mouse had one thing he's terribly afraid of, that is cat. So, you know, cats, when they find me, they chase after me. So he was so scared. And then when he prays, this wizard comes out and he said, "Okay, I will help you, you poor thing." And then he turns into a cat. So he's not afraid of cats anymore. They are friends. And he was happy to be a cat. And then there were another thing he's scared of. It's the neighbor dogs. You know, the dogs, when they see cats, they chase after them and run down at them with full speed. So now he's turned into a dog by the wizard. So now he's not afraid of the dogs. And he's happy to be a dog. Then he finds another scary thing. That is, there are lions that live in the forest. And he has to be a watchdog. But you know, he can never beat the lions. And he was so scared of lions. So now he was turned into a lion. He's not scared of the lions anymore. But now he was afraid of humans. You know, humans would hunt down at lions. And that's the end of the story. But if he turns into a human, would he not be afraid? What do you think as a human? You know, as humans, we are still afraid. So what does this allegory teach us? You know, we might think when we become like someone, when we have some things, when we become gain some positions, we'll become happy, we'll become in peace, but no matter what we gain or what we become, we'll never be freed from the fear. You know, things, your authority doesn't change you. When you want to be freed from God, you have to connect with the Almighty God. Let me introduce one Bible verse, Isaiah 30 verse 15. This is what the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you would have none of it. Repentance means to turn your heart to God. And quietness means to silence before God. Then you will gain strength. When you turn your heart to God and lay yourself down before God and hear God's word, that is the only way you can be freed from the fear. You know the word holiday in English? Holiday, like the days of rest. It becomes from the word holy day, the sacred day. And the word holy means to set apart, to distinguish. Like this day, this time, I'm going to set it apart for God and give it to God. It's like just right now, you're having this time of holiday. At the end of this December, at the end of the year, when it's busy, you're coming here to set apart the time, to sit before God and to hear God's word. And if we don't take that time, we will never be freed from fear. Because the one who completely drives out the fear is in this place, our Father God. The more busier we are, we should set apart this time to sit before God in silence, especially in this busy time of the year of Christmas. It's difficult to take the time, but let us take this time of worship because it is the most important time of our life. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you that in this busy time of Christmas, we can Turn our heart to God and hear your word. You are the one who rules over everything, and you are the one who frees us from everything. You are our Father and Savior. You're the one who loves us. Thank you, God. Let us grow in the trust in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's take some time to pray in our own words. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit may be with each one of you abundantly. Amen. Okay, let's have the time of announcements. So next week, we have the Christmas worship.